Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, millions around the world are remembering Muhammad Ali. There's a day-long service that he planned for his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. We've been remembering Ali all week. Our stories are at hereandnow.org. Today, Ali the poet. One-liners he used to taunt opponents with. I'm so frightening, I hit like lightning. Then the long form. Here he is in Ireland in 1972, reciting part of the poem he wrote about the 1971 Attica prison uprising. In it, he imagines himself as a black inmate responding to a white warden.
Better far our fight to wage now while our blood boils with rage, lest it cool with ancient age. Better violent for us to die than to give up an Uncle Tom and try. Make him peace just to live a lie. Better if we say our sooth. We gonna die today demanding truth while we're still akin to youth.
Let's talk about Muhammad Ali through the lens of poetry with two great poets. Sonia Sanchez, former professor of English and Women's Studies at Temple University, a prominent writer in the Black Arts Movement, which burst out of the Black Power Movement in the 1960s. She joins us from WHYY in Philadelphia. Sonia, welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's good being here.
Also joining us, Adrian Mateka, poet in residence at Indiana University, and one of his books, Big Smoke, an anthology of poems about Jack Johnson. This was the very first African-American world heavyweight boxing champion from 1908 to 1915, Jim Crow America. Welcome, Adrian.
So good to be here, Robin. Thank you.
And I'm going to start with Sonia. You knew Muhammad Ali. After he became a conscientious objector during the Vietnam War, you traveled with him and read poetry together?
Yeah, people forget that when he took that position that he took, there was an uproar. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I did as a poet is that we had a huge poetry reading together at the Dome in New Orleans. Can you imagine that place? Yeah.
I wish to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah, and I wish I had the tapes of that also, too. Mm-hmm. I'm putting that out there. And what that was about was for me to present him to this huge crowd there and for me to read some poetry and for him to read some poetry also, too. And the people just loved him so very much. And it was such an honor, being with him, traveling up to the farm, to his camp where he worked out. You know, I have twin sons, and he'd get in the ring and tell them, okay, come on, beat me up. Mm-hmm. And they would, these are like 2.5-year-olds. They'd go in and bang him, and then he'd fall out, and then they'd step on him and say, we won. This is the motion and beauty and poetry of this man, the poetry of his body as he fought, but the poetry of his humanity as he dealt with us and made us all understand what it meant to be human. And when I think of him, I think of John 14:27, which says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Mm-hmm. And that's what his heart was, never afraid. He was never afraid of anything. That's why we loved him so very much.
Well, and not afraid to speak. And Adrian, it's so hard to remember that this was in a segregated America when blacks were still being lynched, and brash doesn't even come close. How do you hear his words?
Well, you know, I heard them and continue to hear them as this great example of how to create your own identity. It's signifying, it's braggadocio, but when he would say something like, you know, this kid's got a left, this kid's got a right, if he hits you once, you're out for the night. Like, that kind of thing is just unbelievable to me in terms of owning the space around you and owning your own image.
Well, let's listen to a little from the Jack Parr Show in 1964. This is before the Sonny Liston heavyweight championship fight.
This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance.
So was this the beginning of rap?
I don't know if it was the beginning, but it has all the best parts of rap. And that's Liberace playing piano behind
too much.
Him, too,
that's
if
right.
I'm not mistaken.
That's so, right. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I mean, to think that this beautiful man from Louisville, getting ready to fight one of the most frightening boxers of that time. Everybody was scared of Sonny Liston. And he's on the Jack Parr Show with Liberace. I mean, what kind of charisma would it take? I mean, I can't imagine a show that, where, you know, any place that might be more homogenous than daytime television in the 60s.
I just want to add to that, because he was part of a tradition, when you teach poetry and study poetry, he was part of a tradition from the past poetry, you know, like the toast. And
The toast?
Yeah, they're like two lines, and they rhyme. And usually it's always done amongst men, because it's going to end up being a little dirty in some kind of way also, too, you know. But it's like the shine poems and the signifying monkey kinds of things, right? But because of his kind of dark humor and sometimes profanity. So he's a griot. He is part of that tradition from the past, but also he's part of a future tradition, which is going to come up as rap. And that is the joy that we understand. And that is why we've always been entrenched, black folks, in poetry, you know, in rhyme and cadence, you know, coming out of the church, coming out of the bars, coming out of the toasts and the signifying pieces. So it's there. So people heard it, understood it, and they responded.
Here he is in 1974, before the rumble in the jungle.
I said, last night I had a dream. When I got to Africa, I had one hell of a rumble. I had to beat Tarzan's behind first for claiming to be the king in the jungle. For this fight, I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail.
Because he said, you know, I'm bad. Just last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
You know this. You know it. We're laughing, we're loving, but it's so sad to think that this kid barely graduated high school. He had a wonderful principal who thought he was going to go far in boxing, but if boxing wasn't the only avenue, you have to wonder where he might have gone.
So it's very true. The kind of awareness of the world to be able to come up with those kinds of similes and that kind of figurative language about
and
yourself.
And rhyming skills, you know?
They rhyme. Yeah. I mean, just over and over. I mean, these incredible rhymes. I'm trying to think of, I can't think of the exact line, but it's from that Jack Parr. And he said something like, here I predict Mr. Liston's dismemberment. I'll hit him so hard he'll wonder where October and November went. That kind of off rhyme, that's where it starts to intersect with rap to me. I mean, that great to rhyme dismemberment and October and November went. There are a lot of poets running around right now wishing they had those kind of rhyme skills.
And Sonia, we were saying he also inspired poets.
I did discover a couple of haiku that I had done, you know, but two of them that I had done, I wrote, in your love for us, you abandon mirrors. Because people would think that this man was always looking in mirrors, you know, always trying to look for his reflection. But the reflection he always looked for was coming from people, if you understood what I said, you know. Then today, waiting inside, I just wrote, I taste the rich corners of your words, you know. There were only two boxes I ever watched. My father was a great boxing fan. That was Sugar Ray Robinson. Because he had style, right? And his boxing, like Muhammad, Brother Ali's, was poetic. You know, they would give you what I call a refrain of punches. And then the knockout rhyme is the knockout punch, if you know what I'm saying. But they both line up with the precision of a poem, right? And they both had the style and beauty of a poem also, too. So I would only watch Muhammad Ali, but I haven't watched a boxing match since he stopped boxing. Because none of them had the beauty and precision as Sugar Ray Robinson and Brother Muhammad
Ali.
Well,
it's also hard to watch them because we know what they do. Adrian, just, you know, you had, as we said, written the book on Jack Johnson. You said Ali was somewhat of a verbal descendant.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you know, Jack Johnson was a great trash talker. They used to call it mouth fighting.
They used
to call it mouth fighting. And Jack Johnson was great. You watch these old clips of him, and you can see him talking. And he's got gold teeth, and he's this gorgeous man, and he's, you know, absolutely destroying his opponents and talking to them the whole time. And you can imagine that kind of behavior didn't go over so well. Talking trash operated on two levels, right? There's the level of entertainment, and then there's also that level of unsettling your opponent.
Get him off balance.
And Muhammad Ali was very aware of that poetry is this kind of verbal sparring could be a weapon. That's smart fighting.
But, well, when he used it, though, in public, on the Jack Parr show, it had to be done with love. because otherwise he wouldn't have lasted the decade.
It was, and right. It was done with love, but at the same time, it was rebellion too.
Right.
Because he had to, this is a black man who's saying, this is who I am. You got to take me for what I'm saying. My son said something, one of my twins said something. He said, Mom, you know, your generation had Brother Malcolm and Brother Martin, but my generation had Brother Muhammad Ali. And he was there. He was their personal savior. And I never thought about that. And I looked up and nodded and said, you're right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Sonia Sanchez, the poet and activist. Adrian Mateka, poet in residence at Indiana University. Thank you both so much for helping us look at Muhammad Ali through this prism.
It's an honor to talk about this man. He was the greatest.
He was the greatest.
He was the greatest.
To die fighting to be free. What more fitting end could be? Better surely than in bed, where in broken health we're led. Better that of heart attack, or some dose of drug we lack. Let us die by being black.
Muhammad Ali, again his poem about the Attica Uprising. Laid to rest today in once segregated Louisville, he'll be welcomed at a Cave Hill Cemetery strewn with rose petals.